Judge Kavanaugh, thank you very much. Hearing adjourned.
All right, there you have it. A compelling end to a very compelling day of testimony on Capitol Hill. There you had Senator Kennedy, who, very interesting. Now, Senator Kennedy is a Republican from Louisiana. He wanted to be very succinct and wrap this up, put a button on it, if you will, both legally and politically, mostly politically, because this day, which started about, what would it be, 9 hours ago.
Yeah, hard to believe.
Almost 9 hours ago. In Washington, in the U.S. Senate, in this hearing room, started with the testimony of Christine Blasey Ford and then went on to the testimony this afternoon of the nominee here, Judge Brett Kavanaugh. What we heard were two completely different stories in diametric opposition to each other, both compelling. The testimony this morning by Dr. Ford was emotional and raw and seemingly very real. This afternoon, the testimony by Brett Kavanaugh, emotional and raw and seemingly very real.
Mm-hmm.
And as Senator Flake just said, I don't know that any minds will be changed here. After 9 hours of this today, we will come back. We've got a top five at five. We will play some of the stuff, in case you missed it, throughout the day of both her testimony and his testimony. The she said, he said of this, and then get legal analysis during the top five at five and take your phone calls in the 6 o'clock hour as well as to what you think you saw or heard today. But first, Violetta stands by. She's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
This week on Chicago's Best, the CB team is exploring the Italian boot one dish at a time. It's an all-new Chicago's Best Italian, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, full, like, 9 hours of testimony, almost 9 hours today.
Can I mention something real here? In the last few minutes, the president has tweeted about Kavanaugh. Judge Kavanaugh showed America exactly why I nominated him. His testimony, powerful, honest, riveting. Democrats' search and destroy strategy, is disgraceful, and this process has been a total sham, an effort to delay, obstruct, and resist. The Senate must vote. And we're also hearing the Senate Republicans will be meeting tonight to discuss next steps. There is a vote for the Judiciary Committee scheduled tomorrow morning.
Just for the committee to get his nomination out of committee, and then a full Senate vote would be required to get him into the Supreme Court. There have been rumors on Capitol Hill throughout the day, we are told, that they are going to actually hold the Senate for Saturday to try to vote this this measure on Saturday to get Brett Kavanaugh into the Supreme Court in time for the beginning of the session on Monday. Mike Monaco, does that seem like that's possible?
It seems possible. It seems possible. It seems unlikely, but it seems definitely possible.
They can swear him in on Monday morning, and then he can start to hear.
They can swear him in a second. They can swear him in Sunday.
So if he misses, let's just say that this gets pushed back by a couple of days. Does the Supreme Court push the docket back then?
The cases will be heard. And then when he comes in, he starts hearing those cases that...
And he can weigh in on them even though he's missed some of the testimony.
No. There's no cases... He will not vote, I don't think, on the cases that began before he is sworn in. But once he's sworn in, then he'll be part of all the decisions.
So on Monday, the cases that are going to... They will start hearing testimony in cases on Monday at the Supreme Court?
They will not hear testimony. You hear arguments.
You'll hear arguments.
They're arguments. Now, maybe can they... I'm not sure if he can just listen to the arguments and be
catch up.
To catch up or not. But there's no testimony. There's no testimony in the Supreme Court.
It's just arguments by
lawyers.
Hears
no witnesses.
Right.
Just hears arguments from the lawyers.
And they get all the paperwork that went into these cases in advance, right? That's
exactly
what the clerks are all there for,
right.
And he was a clerk, actually.
He was a clerk for Justice Kennedy.
Right? All right.
Didn't it seem to you guys that the question that was asked over and over by Democrats, including Senator Durbin and Kamala Harris at the end there, why do you think an FBI investigation is the right way to go? Isn't there an answer to that? He could say no, because he clearly believes that you're not going to achieve anything through an FBI.
He did not want to answer that question. He refused to answer it every time it was asked. Now, the question I have is, can someone believe Dr. Ford and still vote for Judge Kavanaugh?
Isn't
and I suppose
enough?
A person could say, well, what happened through this incident, first of all, the incident only took How long did it take? A few minutes?
The actual incident
the
back
actual
then?
Incident. Yeah. And she was 15, and it clearly was the most of the thing she remembers more than anything is when he put his hands on her mouth. And she was clothed throughout the event. And is it possible that he was drunk, that he had something to drink and didn't remember what happened? It's possible, I suppose. So it could a voter on the in the House, excuse me, in the Senate, say, I believe her, but I'm going to vote for him anyway. I suppose it's possible.
Yeah, you saw that. You know, you're looking at the swing voters right now. Senator Flake, Collins, and Murkowski. Senator Murkowski said that he's clearly qualified for the job based on his judicial qualifications.
Sure,
There's no question about that.
No
I mean,
question,
you may disagree with
no
his
question
views,
about that.
But that his judicial temperament and his philosophy in this incident, is it enough to sink his nomination? You're seeing the president saying, obviously not. He's pushing Republicans
right,
to vote for him.
Right. Well, the president yesterday said, of all the things the president said as president, what he said yesterday I think was the truest thing. When he said that he was in the same boat that he feels for
Judge Kavanaugh
because he went through the same thing. Now, not exactly the same thing, but close. And it strikes me that women are going to look at this in a different way than men. I think, Annie, you
said
this
earlier. That's what we're going to talk about in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to do a top 5-5 and then discuss that. Because when I watched the testimony this morning, it was heart-wrenching. It was you watched this very, very raw, very emotional.
Very moving testimony.
Very moving. She seemed very honest in her testimony.
Incredible.
I watched it. She was detailed in terms of what the incident itself was, and I did not get a sense that she was a political pawn or put up to anything. And it did occur to me, as I think it did to everybody on that panel and people who are watching it who have a heart of any sort or understand human nature, that she was being honest in her testimony today.
Right.
However, he was just as honest, and he was just as compelling in the afternoon, saying, no, that is not what happened. And now you're left with this he said, she said circumstance from an allegation that is 36 years old. And that is going to be the fascinating piece here, because how men and women see this is going to have reverberation beyond what happens here in the United States Senate over the next 2 or 3 days. It is really about her testimony, and men and women are going to be having this conversation as they were 20-some years ago when this was all going on with Anita Hill. All right, we've got news coming your way in 2 minutes.
Last night, the Republican staff of this committee released to the media a timeline that shows that they've interviewed two people who claim they were the ones who actually assaulted you. I'm asking you to address this new defense of mistaken identity directly. Dr. Ford, with what degree of certainty do you believe Brett Kavanaugh assaulted you?
100%.
I want you to look me in the eye. Are Dr. Ford's allegations true?
They're not accurate as to me. I have not questioned that she might have been sexually assaulted at some point in her life by someone, someplace. But as to me, I've never done this. Never. Done this to her or to anyone else.
The most consequential day in the most consequential political story of this year.
Right.
And let's not kid ourselves about that. This is, and we could talk about all the wackiness that goes on with in the White House and things that Donald Trump says at political rallies or says at press conferences. Hey, Mr. Kurd, you know, any of those kinds of things. They're not as consequential as a Supreme Court justice.
Huge.
And a lot at stake, for sure.
Right.
It's huge. He's 53 years old. He'll be on the Supreme Court for 30 years.
Potentially, and he's got at least, right? And then he represents the second conservative justice to go onto the court. It changes the balance completely of the Supreme Court. I don't think there's anything that Democrats are going to be able to do to stop that in the near term. Because you still have the White House, and I don't think that the Democrats are going to get the Senate in the fall. So at this point, it's going to be, and there could be one more. The balance of the Supreme Court in terms of political direction of this country. And remember, the Supreme Court makes these decisions about law. And if they decide on law that things that, that conservative politicians want to change about American law,
as the president has promised,
they will have a friendly Supreme Court to do it. And one of the great questions here is the future of Roe versus Wade, right? Mm-hmm. And is whether or not abortion is going to be legal in this country in the next number of years, as it has been. Mm-hmm. And the issue of whether it's settled law, as it has been. And you're seeing countries around the world start to make, you know, debate about this, right? In Argentina, they just continued to make it illegal in Argentina,
yeah.
Right? In Europe, they're having these debates in countries where it is currently legal to make abortion illegal. And again, this isn't about, I don't want to get into the debate about abortion.
No.
But this is just about the politics of it.
And states are lined up already with legislation that will limit the ability of a person.
As soon as the Supreme Court and it goes back to the states, it'll be a state-by-state decision,
each
it appears.
State, right.
And then the question is, will that continue? So that's why there's so much at stake here, and that seems to be the political motivation here.
Right.
Roe versus Wade is chief among them.
Yep.
And then you have this allegation, and you do have a he said, she said. And you do have a she said, he said in this particular case. So I see how differently women are looking at this than are men. Because there's not only that grander political issue, but as you watch these two today, and Anna, I ask you, and I'm looking for women at 312-981-7200 to weigh in this as well, to talk about this in terms of what they saw today. Does this make a difference on your perspective? I thought that Judge Kavanaugh had a very strong afternoon here after a really strong morning by his accuser.
You know, it's interesting because I think there is a really salient point here that women will remember a situation that may be meaningless to a man. And I think that that's important because I watched it with two friends, one who I would, on both sides of the political spectrum today. And I would say all of us had a visceral reaction to it, and it brought back memories. Memories of, like, you know, things that had happened to us or people we knew. And my friend on the right said that she felt like this woman was being used as a political pawn, and that women are only used like that, or our sexual assaults are used like that when it's convenient, when it fits the narrative, but we're ignored otherwise. On the left, you know, it's like we're not believed, or we're in need of dozens of women behind us, or else you're not believed, especially when you're facing a powerful man, as you saw with Weinstein and Cosby and things like that. If you just come forward by yourself, you're not believed. And that some of that is changing, but that really, this is a moment. This is a moment in time where, you know, it became more than what these senators will do. It became a lot about the discussion about how you treat these circumstances.
So the more conservative woman in this group of women you're talking about today.
It wasn't that she didn't believe her. She just said to me, she's like, you know, oh, well, of course this is like, okay, so it's she's only up there and being believed and being treated so nicely and put out there in this way because she fits the political narrative, and that things would be different if, you know, circumstances were different. This woman just came forward on her own, and this was a judge in Cook County, maybe, for instance. Would it be treated the same way? I don't know. I'm not sure I could say yes to that.
Brett's assault on me drastically altered my life for a very long time. I was too afraid and ashamed to tell anyone these details. I did not want to tell my parents that I, at age 15, was in a house without any parents present, drinking beer with boys. I convinced myself that because Brett did not rape me, I should just move on and just pretend that it didn't happen.
Lynn, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Lynn.
Hello. Yes, hi. I think that Brett Kavanaugh was much more credible and believable than Dr. Ford. I feel that either Dr. Ford really did endure some kind of assault when she was younger and became so fragile and fractured that she literally displaced this famous person into her experience. I don't think that she was believable as to establishing that it was actually Brett Kavanaugh.
Let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question. First of all, did you hear it or see it today?
I watched the whole thing, and I've been following coverage coming up to it, yeah.
Yeah, because as a visual, I found it, because it's interesting, watching it this morning, then hearing it on the radio this afternoon, your mind's eye works in different ways. I thought physically she was a much more compelling person than I thought she was going to be going into it. And but you think she was I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you think she was a plant?
Yeah, I kind of do, because I think that she sort of adopted this voice that got frailer and frailer. And let's remember, she's a psych major. She eliminated, erased, whatever you want to call it, her whole social media online presence before this. And I really feel like I feel it was more of a performance. There was no fire in her gut about anything she was saying. She didn't talk about the typical things that rape victims or assault victims would talk about. One thing is the charge they have against someone. He did this to me or whatever. But the second thing that rape victims and assault victims talk about is what they did to fight him off. She said nothing. I scratched his face. I kneed him in the groin. I was pounding on him while my hands were free and his
hair
was off.
She actually did, but what I did here, thank you very much, Lynn, appreciate it. What I did here, though, was her talk about how it ended. It was very quick. Put the hands over. She was trying to get away. She said she was trying to get away, but it was then when the other guy jumped on the bed and knocked them both over that she was able to run away.
Mm-hmm.
So there
it did not last long.
No, that's the other piece of this.
Right.
So, I mean, and it appears that Brett Kavanaugh's performance in the afternoon here, if we call them both performances, is going to win the day. All right, let's check in with Violetta very quickly here, the last traffic report of the day.